Now our main topic today, that big plan for a cultural district around the Nelson Atkins. Here to lay out their vision is Museum Director Julian Zugasagoitia. And Julian, always good to have you. Welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
And Karen Christensen is also here. She's COO for the Nelson Atkins. Karen, good to have you too.
Good morning. Be here.
Yeah. Well, every story about this new plan says the idea has been around for decades, Julian. Well, it was new to me, and I've been around here for a while. How long has this idea been around, and who was the original mastermind behind it?
Well, I think the idea really dates to the 30s, and when the museum is being planned, actually for the region. We have records that Nichols was already thinking how the museum and everything that he was building around could be anchor for a university. And many of the dreams have already been flourished. So what I would say also in the 60s, there was an attempt to rally all of the different institutions. By then, they were bigger and more on solid grounds. But today, what came as an evidence when I first moved to Kansas City some years ago was the wealth of institutions just around a very, very short walking distance. And what surprised me, of course, is that, first of all, one had difficulty to walk to those places, mm-hmm. and the other is that they were not intrinsically connected. So as part of our strategic plan, and you know, when you come into a new place, you have the freshness of a look and also the questions that arise. Mm-hmm. And one of the first questions was, why people from the Art Institute are not visiting more than Nelson? You know, mm-hmm. the students, it would be a natural. And little by little, each of those questions led to, sometimes it was perceived barriers, sometimes they were physical, sometimes they were legal, like, well, some people had to ask permission and file in something. So little by little, talking to our colleagues around town, the first thing we said is, how can we collaborate more together? And so that led one thing to another, recognizing the great things that are just around all of us.
Well, Karen, this idea has been around for a while, so why talk about it again now? What is it about 2014 that has a Nelson Atkins thinking toward the future?
I think there's several things. Excuse me. First of all, with Julian and his big vision, I think that had us thinking big. But then you think about the five big ideas, the mayor's art, some of the great work even done on Rock Hill Road and Emmanuel Cleaver connecting with Truce.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going out. And so this is a great time for that synergy.
So the idea in a sentence or two, Julian, is what? What do you want to do here?
So the idea is to now bring into more concrete form the highlighting of all the great resources we have. And so, you know, we first began talking just about collaborating and doing more things, and actually all of those things have been now fulfilled to a certain degree, and we have a great working relationship with many of our colleagues around. But on the other side, it's saying, how can we highlight that so that it becomes visible? What are the urban infrastructures that would make someone living north of us go to UMKC for a school without having to take their car, maybe biking it? Or so mm-hmm. What could make all of the institutions just shine by their connectivity? So it is about connectivity, about then urban planning. And so after we discussed a lot with we said we need an architect firm or an urban planning firm and someone who has those qualifications, urban planning, ecology-minded, and great architecture. And that's how we were lucky to be working with Wais Manfredi to just put all of these aspirations into mm-hmm. something that would begin the conversation.
Begin the conversation then, Karen. Some of the highlights of this plan, there's a hotel, there are pedestrian bridges. Talk to me about that a little bit. Where would the hotel be? Where would the pedestrian bridges be? Walk me through some of the bigger highlights here. Yeah,
and these really are concepts, and I say that because we have a lot of discussion to go. But specifically to your questions, the thought of a hotel was actually across 45th Street as a thought. To engage in the community, have more people stay, that kind of thing. The bridges go from Main Street all the way over toward Troost. They go from...
You're connecting Nelson Atkins with the plaza.
Correct.
And the Nelson Atkins going south into the other part of the park headed south.
Yes, down mm-hmm. through Tice Park, Tice UMKC, Park, yeah. mm-hmm. Even trying to connect more with Toy Miniature Museum, which is a great place, or Linda Hall Library. So like our strategic plan about engagement and connectivity, that's really the point. These are now physical connections, not just programmatical connections.
And directly to the east, then, there's this a concern about the imposing nature of the Nelson Atkins as you approach the museum from the east. There's talk about doing what to Rock Hill Road right there to the east?
There's been discussion about actually the concept that Wiseman Freddie put forth was to move the road further toward Kirkwood property.
As to the east.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And the thought was there, it actually came from Wiseman Freddie was here back in May or June of 2013. And they interviewed and talked to like 50 people just to get ideas. And it actually came out of those meetings that Wiseman Freddie came up with the idea of moving the road a bit more to put more green space over actually on the Nelson Atkins side as a little more of a buffer. And so the neighbors actually would look at that green space instead of the road.
I was going to say, the way it's situated now, the block building really does go bump up right up against Rock
right.
Hill Road, and
right.
there's not a whole lot of much of a buffer there as,
exactly.
as it stands right now.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Julian, the vision here then is you want to increase accessibility. You want to wipe out boundaries. You want to enlarge the footprint of the museum. Am I seeing all that correctly?
Correct.
Yeah. You want to boost the impact this institution has on the lives of people who live in this community.
I think definitely for us, the essential thing and what was the trigger of all this is saying a cultural institution, an arts institution like the Nelson can be part of everyone's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can feel and be receptive to art if one just starts walking our grounds. So the notion of a sculpture park that is the most civic way to engage is open 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can wander there. It's a first engagement with a beautiful urban space, a beautiful
yeah.
works of art that start talking to you. Then if you go inside, other things may happen. So we want really to consider the Nelson Atkins as a place that is a safe haven, a place to the third space that
yeah.
we talk so much about. In that way, and then also be a very civic-minded institution that connects and brings the great resources that we have in this city into a dialogue.
So again, the concern a little bit, Julian, is that the Nelson Atkins is a little bit of an island unto itself. Am I sort of reading into it correctly there?
Well, perhaps that is a perception that we want to fight. And that
yeah.
is the whole strategic plan in many ways tries to address that. It could have been perceived that way. And I think all the work that our team has been doing is really to see the Nelson and art as part of everybody's lives. And we're trying to really devise programs and plans and exhibitions that will bring different kind of audiences to enjoy art and then perhaps repeat visits.
And again, this is a vision that's been around for decades, literally.
Totally. I think it's the right time to crystallize it. We had mm-hmm. also great input from a lot of people in developing these first ideas. But what it is important, as Karen said, is that this is some concept. So we call it really a draft. This is just to take a stake in which would be a preferred future. We're in a growing mode. Our attendance has grown. Our exhibitions and our programs have been more attended. Mm-hmm. So there is a growth pattern. There is a moment in more people are embracing the Nelson. But we want to also have all the dialogue to see where should we be going.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a vision of where it can go. And through this process, we will perfect it, refine it, change things. You know, it is really the beginning of a civic minded dialogue, and we're really encouraged by the fact that people want to be part of it, people want to participate, share. It's going to get passionate at times, but that is exactly what we're looking for, the very, very engaged conversation.
Well, let's see if we can tap into some of that passion right now with our listeners. I'm sure have feelings about this idea of a cultural district at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Have you put a price tag on all this, Karen?
No. Because they're concepts, we don't know exactly what we would do, so we haven't priced it at all.
It's probably a little bit more money than is sitting around in my bank, piggy bank at home right now,
yes,
right?
Yes, probably mine too, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, but any contribution helps.
Yes.
So if you want to start this.
Yeah.
But
you can start it.
The reality is that we didn't want to put in price because this is our ideas, and only once these ideas are refined or discussed further, we just wanted to put it out to the public to see where we would have this conversation going. So we're gratified that people, I mean, want to have the conversation. If people would have said, we don't care at all, you know, that would have been a bad sign. But putting price tags is only to the things that we will explore further. And right now, all of these ideas are just out there. We'll see which merit to be explored further than to put price tag than to be. But we wanted first to do a reality check. And this putting this out there is a reality check.
Well, for our listeners, do you like this idea? Do you have concerns about it? 816-235-2888. There's no question, though, is there, Julian, that you need public money to make this happen because private individuals couldn't foot a bill this steep. Do I have that right?
Well, first of all, we have to really see the plan or this idea as a series of interconnected projects, you know. So the bridges and the footsteps. Some are things we can do in our own backyard, and that perhaps the Nelson Atkins will be responsible for. Some others are some neighboring institutions, the campus of UMKC. So it's how all of this connects. So for something or most of it, it will be private money, and we will be for our projects in the need of raising them. Others are other civic leaders will be the champions of all this.
Yeah.
But what it is really to start having a bold idea that connects the city to densify. One of the important things is to bring people into the city, to densify the city. And somehow this district really, which more and more ends up being a visual arts and creativity innovation, also with the Kauffman Foundation there, should connect down the road also with what's going down north in the Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. Now you have the Bollinger Dance Center. You have so many also great institutions around there. And there's the plan for the Conservatory of Music also to going down there. And so all of a sudden you start seeing that you could have almost nucleus. So
yeah.
Of things going on. It's the right time for the city to be thinking of this magnitude. And on the other side, we do contemplate that this is going to take a lot of time to be realized. So it's incremental, it's compartmentalized, and it's then certain things can happen faster than others.
But what about that timetable, Karen? When could you imagine that we would begin to see maybe the first stages of construction here? When might the whole thing be completed or something be completed? Give us a sense of a timetable here.
We have talked about a 25-year time horizon. I think our first steps really is the public input and working teams and lots of inviting others to the table to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I don't feel I can answer like when construction would start, because I think there's what do we want to do? There's phasing of it. There's priorities, all of those kinds of things.
Does the city council have to sign off on this thing? It's, say you wanted to build a pedestrian bridge over Main Street to the Country Club Plaza. Can you just do that, or does the city council have to weigh in and say, yes, you can go ahead?
Oh, they have to absolutely be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's different stages of involvement with them as well.
Yeah.
Here. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to some phone calls here on the cultural district vision that's being presented here today by folks from the Nelson Atkins. 816-235-2888 is our number. Ford from Prairie Village. Good morning.
Morning.
Go ahead.
I'm actually a UMKC student, and I was just up at school getting ready for classes this upcoming semester.
You and me both, Ford.
and I happened to be driving up Oak Street past the Nelson, past the Art Institute, as you guys were talking about all of this. And when you called for listeners, I just thought I had to share that I could see everything that you were envisioning. I pictured it clearly, and I loved it.
What do you love about it, Ford?
I don't know. It's just it. These are all places that I frequent daily as a UMKC student and as someone who lives in Midtown, and to have these types of structures connecting all of these places would just really grab me into the city more.
Sounds good. I'm glad you called, Ford. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're quite welcome.
I get our number here, 816-235-2888. Karen, to what extent is the council and the Parks Department aware of what you want to do, as well as the neighbors living nearby? Mm-hmm. What's been that level of engagement so far?
Well, in the last, I would say, 2 months, we've talked to probably over 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly need to broaden that more. We have been meeting with our local city council members and then broadening it to all city council members. We haven't gotten to all of them. We've had meetings with leadership within the neighborhoods. We've met a lot with other institutions from UMKC to KCAI and so on. So we've been starting the communication and then broadening the circle.
That's going to be important here,
very
obviously,
much.
With any,
very
any
much.
Kind of activity. Like, and the kind of feedback you're getting from the neighbors is what?
As you can imagine, there's great interest in parts of it. There's certainly concern about the impact on their neighborhoods, and that's why the dialogue is going to be so important with them in terms of defining the needs of the museum, looking at options with the neighbors in terms of what works best, that kind of thing.
Let's talk about some specifics here, Julian. The hotel, how big would it be? Do you have any sense of that yet? Or what's the initial proposal looking like?
Well, the initial, and again, these are very quick ideas put in the table. And when we first started this conversation and when the architects came here and met with around 40, 50 people also from to have different input besides the leaders from the arts institutions, the Oak Mansion, that is an art hotel that the Sabates have opened, did not exist. So, you know, so now some even of the things that were dreams for the neighborhood are starting to be even fulfilled without the specificity of the plan. Now, so the question would be, having a hotel like that, does it mean something now that there's one that exists and also there's the Southmoreland Inn that functions in that way? So I don't know. It is a right now, as it is conceived or jotted in, is like a boutique kind of hotel that would also have like a spa, so that amenities that we don't have in immediacy, or a health club kind of thing. It has the functions also like having multi-purpose rooms that you can rent for events or for dinners. So it's a kind of hotel that exists like next to the Crystal Bridges Museum. C21 opened just a beautiful museum there that is an arts museum also with a high end. And we see that kind of dynamic work very well. It works also in Louisville. Now C21 apparently is coming to Kansas City also just through all these conversations. But they, I think, will be taking on the Savoy further downtown. So, you know, it's what is great is that some of these ideas have actualized even as we're being discussing them in some ways or another. So many of these things will need to be verified if they're still meaningful or on the contrary, if there's more need. And some of those things will need to be vetted also with the density of the city. Does the city need support another hotel or not? So all of those things, it depends on the sequencing of things. But I was recently also at the Crossroads and four hotels are going up there. So I think we're giving the infrastructure of Kansas City is changing, and it is very encouraging. So I just feel that the right time to be thinking about all of this is right now.
Kieran, how tall would the pedestrian walkways, bridges be across the Manuel Cleaver, across Main Street? Do you have a sense of that, the scale of these things yet?
I have no idea.
We had a couple of emails here. One emailer said they might even be as tall as three stories. Does that make sense, or am I?
From the drawings, quickly that we can infer, the one that is the one that is from the south lawn of the Nelson all the way to Tice Park, it would be like one story and a half. So to clear double-decker buses. But it is still the idea that it is walkable and bikeable, and at the same time, the way it is conceived, these are urban structures that reframe the city. The inspiration could be perhaps the High Line in New York that has been a total success of how people use that both to move from one place to another, but also just to enjoy reframing the city, looking at differently. So those are the kind of ideas that have been in just percolating through the project. So there's nothing definitive. There's nothing planned. There's no engineering or structural drawings right now. It's just what can be the idea so that then if they are viable, if there is something, then we can start refining all these propositions.
We're talking about this bold new vision for the Nelson Atkins, a cultural district extending a mile out from the intersection of Oak and Emmanuel Cleaver Boulevard. Back to some phone calls here. Judy from Lenexa. Judy, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I work in the nonprofit world, and I'm wondering if there are any plans to more easily and deeply involve our citizens from the east part of the city, let's say east of Troost, and I'll take my call off the air.
Judy, thank you. How do you engage folks east of Troost?
So, first of all, definitely there is the plan really evolves around two axes, east-west, north-south. The east-west is this, that connectivity from the plaza, from Main Street, encompassing or really that beautiful, beautiful fountain that is the Nichols Fountain is somehow engulfed between these arteries. So that and how to connect all the way to Troost. And right now, another civic leader, an amazing man, Ollie Gates, is really engaged in thinking that. So the idea is there is champions have different elements. So how does this connect to his vision? And the idea is, again, art. There's some public works that can enhance all of this. And so conversations should be and continue to be in that sense is how do we connect all of the different aspirations of different civic leaders.
But the intention is to go east.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to some more calls here. Callie from Kansas City, Missouri. Callie, good morning.
Good morning. Wow. I love your show, Steve.
So, thanks, Callie.
I just want to call in to say I love the idea of a master plan and linking up all these different areas. I am very, very passionate about the visual arts, and I just think it's so important that people know that art is for everyone. And so I loved what Julian was saying about getting people just into that sculpture garden, and then eventually they'll come inside and go in the museum. So I just love the idea.
I'm glad you called, Callie. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Let's go to Steve Glorioso from Kansas City is joining us. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning to everyone. I'm the president of the Sophia Plaza Condo Association, which is right across from the Nelson, and the comments I'm hearing from our 100 or so residents are very positive, but as you would imagine, we have concerns. One, of course, is the realignment of Rock Hill. No one can quite visualize where the road would go. And secondly, we often, as I know the people on the show know, we get trapped in our neighborhood a lot because there's always activities on the weekends, runs, and so traffic flow is going to be important that we in Oak Hall don't become looking at a bunch of barriers to get in and out of our where we live.
Yeah.
And lastly is the rundown, deteriorating buildings along Cleaver and 46. Are they in your plan? Would they someday be part of a redevelopment? So those are my questions and comments.
Yeah, Stephen, hang on. Let me just make sure I get to all of them. How about where the road goes now? Where would Rock Hill be relocated to exactly?
So Rock Hill would be, you would continue up, if we're on Cleaver Boulevard, a little bit up with a natural where it is right now, and then it would start veering to the east to go through our property that is the Rock Hill property and connect straight on 45th. Right mm-hmm. now on 45th, you have also a detour.
Yes.
So this would be an alignment. The idea, again, and those are just ideas, would be to put that on a rote diet to from four lanes go to two lanes and perhaps make it, because it's still a residential neighborhood, a bit of slower traffic there. So those are, again, ideas that need to be vetted with the city, with city planning and traffic.
And you want to buy, Julian, you want to buy how much green space directly to the east of the museum where Rock Hill is now? How much do you want to have there as a gateway to that entryway into the museum property?
So it would be swapping our property for city property. So that the idea is, and this also the inspiration comes from a beautiful project that created a public park in Dallas. That was so amazingly embraced and connected to parts of the city. So the idea would be to erase that kind of very, very vertical facade or mm-hmm. feeling of the facade of the new block building to put and almost cover what exists today as a street. Mm-hmm. You know, by covering that, and if you see the Rock Hill property and the elevation of, you can bridge it with greenery, and that way you connect the two parts.
Let me get to Steve's other questions. The concerns of residents who are trapped in their neighborhood a lot, Karen, what about that?
I think that's a very good point, very interesting point. It's where, for me, the dialogue is really important to see and run different scenarios and tests to see so that doesn't happen, because that certainly wouldn't be our intent.
And the buildings at Cleaver and 46th Street, the old buildings, would those be taken down or not, Julian?
We're right now, 45th Street is what we're contemplating that are our buildings that might, if we build an expansion of the Nelson right now, we're contemplating perhaps building on that block that is north of the Nelson, our properties, and there would be the hotel where that we mentioned earlier. But more importantly, we need the expansion of the block building did not fulfill many of the growth of the collection, or specifically also the need to have a lot of the staff together. So the idea would be to construct a building that would allow us to continue growing the different collections, have more exhibition space, therefore, have perhaps all the staff together in a tower that looks and has natural light, and also the library's functions that are more and more used have also a place that you can access more easily. So some functions are there that would dream Nelson, that is, continue to show more of its collection that has more access to the public. So that would be on the north side.
Stephen, I hope that helped. We're going to leave our conversation there. I want to thank Museum Director Julian Zugasa-Goitia for coming in again, and Karen Christensen, the COO for the Nelson Atkins. We'll be following this closely, and please come back and visit again and keep us updated on what's going on.
Can I have 1 second just to do a couple of plugs?
Quick.
We have the Plain Indians exhibition coming soon, and you'll see teepees all over the city connecting the teepees to the Plain Indian exhibition. So now you're up to date.
The Plain Indians exhibition. That sounds good, Julian.
Thanks
very much.